Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my home studio recording right next to my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Fine.
Yeah. Still personally just still riding the high of doing an Instagram live with you last night.
We did an Instagram live. I took like two hits of a vape pen
out of this world,
had one beverage, and I'm out of my GD mind today. I don't understand what is happening to my body. The time change has completely fucked me up. Not even the time. I actually think the time changing in the direction it did, like my, if I just stayed on that schedule, I would be better off.
That's what I'm doing. I'm waking up at like 6:30 because it's really 7:30.
Right.
And I've never felt this way before.
It's the sun setting so early that fucks me up. Because then now I eat dinner at like 4 p.m.
Which is not dinner. That's just late lunch.
But then there's like an entire half of the day still left. And it is so baffling. We're not even at the shortest day of the year yet.
We're not even close.
An entire month.
Oh, yeah.
It is truly baffling to me. I also spent the entire morning convincing myself that I have perfect pitch. Just doing a bunch of tests.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I do.
Really? I mean, I think that for you to have both perfect pitch and epic snoring, as we learned last night in the Instagram live, that's a pretty unique combination, and I'm really excited for you.
I think it's important to note that perfect pitch does not translate to being able to like sing or perform in any way. It just means you recognize the note.
Yeah.
But first I need to learn the note.
Yeah, I think true.
So like sing a note and I'll see if I can find it. No.
I'm sorry. This is what perfect pitch is. It's me singing a note and then you playing every single key until you find it. This is a bad game. And you're also bad at it.
I think it's that.
I don't even remember what I did. Can we move on with the goddamn show?
Anyway, I spent my entire morning convincing myself I have perfect pitch. And I think we just proved that I actually do. So sorry that you know what notes are. My ear is just so much better than yours. But we'll continue playing this game afterwards, by the way. Anyway, before we get into the show, I have two shows coming up, Chicago and Indianapolis.
Yes.
December 4th and December 5th. You can get tickets. We'll put the link in the show notes, but mattbellassai.com/tour. I'm going to Chicago for Thanksgiving and I'm sticking around and I will be performing at the City Winery in Chicago.
Ooh, very fancy, fitting. Fancy.
And then the Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis. So
I'm so excited. I'm so sad I can't be there, but I have a lot of Hoosier friends who are coming out for the indie show and I'm very jealous of them. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Anyway, what is coming up in today's episode? Well, we're going to kick things off, as always, with Worst Things First, where I chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into the worst Thanksgiving traditions. That's right, folks. It's Thanksgiving season, and I don't want to do anything except eat. Stop boring me with your all of these extra traditions. We don't need them. I don't want them. Let's focus on what matters this holiday season. Gluttony. And finally, we have got comedian Ahir Shah on the pod as our guest complainer. We get into everything from Nando's to conspiracy theorists to getting pickpocketed by Dickensian orphans and his new special on HBO Max, Dots. Also, Ahir's got an amazing British accent. So, I mean, any interview with the British guest is just classic. I'll tell you that. New catchphrase. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, worst things first. Let's chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. First, this is from the Daily Mirror, which is a British tabloid, a famously very reputable source.
Oh, absolutely.
So obviously, this is of the utmost importance. An 11-year-old girl who ate only chicken nuggets for nearly a decade.
Is this actually my British cousin?
has been miraculously healed by a hypnotherapist and now loves to eat fruit and vegetables.
Okay.
Fruit and veg. That's not what they say.
The use of the word healed here is rude. She wasn't healed. She was tricked and bamboozled into eating fruits and veggies.
Listen, you can't find a bigger defender of chicken nuggets than me.
Yeah.
Okay. Love them. I love any type of shape. The dinosaurs, especially.
So cute.
A fan of those. Yeah. Although I'm more a fan of like a chicken tender. I don't like a fake like McDonald's kind of chicken nugget crust. I don't like
that. Where it's like rubbery but crispy at the same time. Very confusing.
Would I recommend eating only chicken nuggets for an entire 10 years? Probably not. I probably wouldn't.
No.
I think that'd be probably not too great for you, especially when you're in the like formative part of your body's life.
Sure.
Because, I would say there's probably like not a single nutrient in a chicken nugget. I don't even know entirely what nutrients are. To be completely frank, what is a nutrient? Nobody's ever defined that. I think it's just kind of like a state of being, a state of mind. So this girl's mom said that she had an intense food phobia and would actually suffer like panic attacks when presented with most foods.
Dang. All right. That sucks.
And so she was like, I guess, I don't know if this person, this hypnotherapist is like a real therapist. I don't think hypnotherapy is real. Is it?
It is.
Anyway, this girl's mom was concerned, so she sought out professional help, i.e. a hypnotherapist, and this girl was diagnosed with this kind of like food intake disorder. Again, I don't know if that's actually real.
Hypnotherapy is real. I will go down and say that.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it was like this girl had like developed this aversion to all other foods.
That's wild.
And like for the longest time, doctors would be like, oh, she'll grow out of it. She'll eat other stuff. You know, she'll get hungry eventually and like eat whatever. And she wouldn't. She would like scream and cry and run away from chicken nuggets. What I love, though, is that this story, they did like a photo shoot and they like made them recreate. It's a picture of a girl. The girl is sitting at a countertop hoarding. She has her arms around like a pile of vegetables, grapes, bananas, oranges.
It's a cornucopia.
And her mom is standing next to her with an entire bowl full of chicken nuggets, overflowing with chicken nuggets, presenting it to her. So this is like the after picture. This is the triumphant after picture. The girl is side-eyeing the chicken nuggets and saying, no, I'm here for the veg, the fruits. Anyway, it only took 3 weeks. And this girl, she would listen to relaxing MP4s, is what this says. Songs, in other words. Isn't an MP4 a video?
Yeah, it's absolutely a video.
She would listen to relaxation MP4s before meals and use an achievement chart. And now she can enjoy a roast with her family.
What sucks for her is that she's in England, which has terrible food. So, sorry.
Right. Isn't Nando's? I mean, yeah. I would eat Nando's chicken nuggets all the time. Even though I think I said during my interview that you'll hear with Ahir that I don't know if I've ever had Nando's. Anyway, next! The city of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, received a call from County Mayo in Ireland.
Ireland.
Anyway, so this Irish county made a phone call to the city of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they were like, hey, we have your garbage can. we have a garbage can that we think belongs to you. It's this is Lucky Charms.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you only learn it from both Lucky Charms and the hit Disney film Luck of the Irish?
Luck of the Irish. Anyway, so it turns out that this barnacle covered trash barrel had somehow waded all the way from South Carolina, more than 3,500 miles away, to Ireland, and they found it and were like, we're gonna call them up and give it back. And they did.
Wow, that seems like a real good use of their money. To ship it, I mean.
What else is Ireland spending money on?
Potatoes.
That's racist.
Sorry.
Okay, that's offensive to me and my people. They spend it on bombs, okay? To hurl at the Queen. Or is that Northern Ireland?
I don't even know. Here's the thing.
How much do you think people are going to celebrate when she dies? Because she is on the verge.
She's real close. People think she's already dead.
She's like 500 years old.
Truly. Biblical.
It is insane that woman is still alive. So I don't wish ill on her at all. I actually did when I worked at BuzzFeed.com.
Wait, you worked at BuzzFeed.com?
I did.
Oh my God.
It's a little known part of
capital
my history.
Capital B, capital F?
Yes. I wrote a story that was like pictures of the Queen doing weird shit, and I imagined what she was saying in those moments, and it was all like deeply sexual. And I remember they were like, you know, her team has like definitely seen this because that like went viral and it got like hundreds of thousands of views. And someone at BuzzFeed who works in PR was like, her team has definitely seen this. Like, they have a press office that this has definitely come up on their hits. And like,
okay, going back to the story, the thing that fucks me up, I'm aware that I have seen images of Earth. I'm aware that I have seen global maps before. I know that the blue between the countries is water, mm-hmm. and that it technically connects us. But the fact that a trash can went from South Carolina to the coast of Ireland does fuck me up. I think that there should be more barriers.
Yeah. You know what I learned from TikTok is that the oceans all have borders. Like, I always assumed, as I'm sure most people did, that like all of the oceans just flow into each other. But like, there is a physical border separating the Atlantic Ocean from the Pacific Ocean.
The fuck are you talking about?
Because they're each made of like different types of water.
I cannot handle that at all. I don't.
So there's
comprehend.
A point where they meet, where it's like they're literally like different colors, and you can see like the line between
what?
Them.
But the fishies go between one to the other, right?
I don't know if they do.
What the fuck is this?
It's so upsetting.
I can't.
And I have to learn that from a teen on TikTok. Anyway.
All right. So finally.
This is all a story about how a trash can floated. That's how desperate I was for stories this week.
I love that story.
Also, I don't know if you've been following. There is this whole like chain of murders that are happening in South Carolina. There's this like family. I'm scared to even talk about it because it's like a powerful crime family, legal family. This man who's like controlled the legal system in South Carolina for a while has now there's all of these mysterious deaths surrounding this guy.
Was there a body in the trash can?
I'm just saying. A trash can washes up from South Carolina right now. I'd do some double checking.
You check that shit for DNA.
Yeah. And finally, love this story. Going out with a bang. Due to a broken space toilet, astronauts that are departing from the International Space Station will have to use diapers for their entire way home.
The smartest people in the galaxy shitting their literal pants.
I cannot imagine a worse situation of everyone grew up and like, you know, we like idolized becoming an astronaut.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, guess what an astronaut does? Shit their pants. Wasn't that woman who drove all the way across, she wore diapers.
She was a trendsetter.
I like how they also call them, the astronauts will have to rely on what NASA describes as absorbent undergarments.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think we all know what that means. Everyone's going to be taking fat shits in their pants. Although I don't even know what they're eating up there. Oh, actually, what they are eating, and I'm just putting this together right now, is that they have been growing chili peppers in space. And it was like a huge accomplishment. This is the most comical series. This is like a sitcom. It's like you make this groundbreaking scientific achievement by growing chili peppers in space, and then your toilet breaks and you have to shit in your pants on the way home after eating chili peppers.
Oh, good.
They were literally, it says that growing chili peppers was a moral boost, and they got to sample their harvest in the past week, adding pieces of green and red peppers to tacos. I can't imagine a worse meal before you have to travel wearing diapers. This was the idea that they would eat tacos in space. Like, I don't eat Mexican within a week of taking an airplane for 6 hours at most, okay? I'm
this
not...
This sensitive stomach?
Yeah.
No.
Although that's a lie. I'm getting on an airplane tomorrow and we're having Mexican it tonight. Yeah. So watch
out. You know what
you
could do, though? Wear a diaper.
Every undergarment is a diaper. You don't give a shit. I also love... so much has been happening in space. They filmed the first, like, private movie. Like a Russian movie company filmed in space.
Oh, they filmed. I was thinking like screened it, and I was like, they filmed it.
Yeah, it was the first time, and then they like, I know Tom Cruise was like racing to get to space so that he could beat the Russians.
Yeah.
To film a movie.
The most like... Tom Cruise thing ever.
Anyway, that's it for this week's Worst Things First. If you want more Worst Things First, you can head to my Patreon, patreon.com/MattBellisai. You'll get video, bonus stories. You'll get a special separate podcast feed that's all of our bonus content that shows up right in your podcast app. You can head to Patreon. That's patreon.com/MattBellisai. It's only $5 a month, and you get all of that bonus content. You support me. You support the show. I have to upload some of the more recent stuff, but you get the back catalog for now. And it's all of our bonus stuff. Next, we're diving deep into Thanksgiving traditions. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive.
All right. Well, it's officially Thanksgiving season, even though Thanksgiving is still like a week away. But I'm calling it, folks, okay? Because I don't think that Thanksgiving should be limited to just one day. That's the first tradition I'll tear down. When are we going to celebrate the pilgrims killing everyone multiple times a year?
We go straight from Halloween to Christmas. No pilgrim love.
Yeah, fuck everybody who goes right from Halloween to Christmas. Thanksgiving is a great holiday. It deserves to be celebrated. Thanksgiving season is a full season. Fucking Target? Target? Okay. I went to Target on Halloween, and they had already taken all of the Halloween stuff down and went directly to Christmas.
Where are the turkeys?
They looked at Mr. Turkey right and said, you can go shit your pants. You can go take your fucking dangly fucking neck tag and get out of our stores. You're not welcome here. So, but I'll be getting ready this week to be going home for Thanksgiving. And I'm sure many of you are getting ready for Thanksgiving, planning what you're doing this year. The problem is I find a number of Thanksgiving traditions to be absolute bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We should be centering the food. This is a holiday about getting absolutely stuffed in more ways than one. Okay.
Ooh.
Sex joke. So let's dive deep into the worst Thanksgiving traditions. Now, some of these will include foods that I think do not belong at the Thanksgiving table. Perhaps we've talked about this in years past, but it bears repeating.
It sure does.
Number one. I'm going to go in hot. Green bean casserole, get out of here.
I will flip the table.
I am sick of green bean casserole. I'm just like, you're making a whole song and dance about green bean casserole? It's beans. It's green beans.
It's beans made the worst way. It's the worst bean. Why?
I mean,
worst bean, worst way.
My family, we grew up, my mom, when she would make dinner, and we have famously said on this podcast that my mom doesn't know how to cook. She cooks a mean lasagna, but we would have cottage cheese as a side dish,
right,
on a regular basis. And whenever we needed to add a vegetable to things, she would just heat up a can of green beans, add nothing to it. So that was my experience of green beans.
Not good.
And obviously a green bean casserole is such an elevated form of that. It's so much better than just a green bean in a can. And even that, from my humble beginnings as eating a green bean from a can, I still won't fuck with green bean casserole. I just think it is a lesser casserole.
Yes.
I prefer a broccoli casserole. Broccoli is a more exciting vegetable
to me. You got a lot more textures in there with a broccoli casserole.
Yeah, you get the head and the shaft,
yeah,
of the broccoli.
Mm, that's what it's called.
And the pubes of it.
Oh,
really?
God.
You get the bush and the shaft.
Don't
of a broccoli.
Ruin broccoli for me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of green bean casserole. Also, anything that you put whatever those dried onion crisps on top are, I don't know. They're just a little too stanky for me.
Yeah.
We're getting a little too out there. Anyway, next, Friendsgiving. The tradition of Friendsgiving, for those who don't have friends, it is the day before Thanksgiving. Typically, everybody who's come back home for Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, you go out with all of your friends. It's a goddamn high school reunion.
Absolutely.
Is what it is.
My dad, every single year, he's like, oh, you're going to go out for the craziest night of the year? People think New Year's is the craziest night of the year? No, it's the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. I've never once been invited to go out the night before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so that's kind of a different take on it, which is I don't have any friends, therefore I don't like Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving. I mean, to be fair, yeah, I don't really know if
it's not a huge. Is it actually a big party night, though?
I think it is for a lot of people. And I'm just like, A, I don't want to be hungover on Thanksgiving.
No.
I would rather be hungover the day after Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
So I can fully enjoy the sensual experience that is the Thanksgiving feast.
Exactly.
B, I mean, this is just my same opinion on high school reunion, which is like, the past is in the past.
I have my friend.
The past is in the past. Let it go. Let it go.
All right.
Anyway, yeah. So Friendsgiving, take it or leave it, leave it. Next, setting the table with stupid decorations.
Are there good decorations or just... Are all decorations stupid in this case?
The only thing that should be decorating the Thanksgiving table is the food.
Okay.
Okay. If you have space on your table for decorations, you didn't make enough, baby. Yeah. I mean, okay. I don't mind a nice centerpiece. Maybe a candle.
A candle.
Yeah.
Although, let me tell you, there have been a couple of holidays at the Finkel family household where a candle has been accidentally pushed over and almost started a fire. So you better watch out with those candles when you're passing around a lot of food.
Well, yeah. Don't set yourself on fire. Again, this is just like your issue with it is that you don't know how to handle it. Also saw a great TikTok. A lot of TikToks are just people posting videos from their like ring cams, their home cameras.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people who have just exited someone's house that they were visiting and ripping apart. They think they're in the clear. But there was a nanny cam that caught a cat setting its tail on fire.
Yeah.
And the cat and the dog, there's also a dog there, just staring at its flaming cat. It goes out. The people don't notice.
Oh, God.
They must have just noticed it after the fact. But that's why candles come with a warning that says don't use around pets.
Yeah.
Anyway, next, football on Thanksgiving.
No.
Don't understand this tradition. From what I understand, again, don't really know anything about the sport, but I think the games on Thanksgiving are like made up.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't even think they're like not part of the regular season.
That
it's just like its own
be
thing.
True.
And then they get like a trophy, like a turkey trophy at
what?
The end.
I
I'm almost positive. Don't correct me if I'm
right at all, actually.
I'm almost positive.
I don't think so. I've been to a lot of Thanksgiving football parties.
Ew, why? Because
my friend's parents would host them every year.
So they would host a football party
in the morning, yeah. And then they like kind of, I don't even know if they would do Thanksgiving, but like that morning they would invite like everyone over.
You're celebrating only that part of Thanksgiving?
Maybe they continued to actually do Thanksgiving, but they would host like 30 people at their house in the morning for football.
That is the most upsetting tradition I've ever heard. I can't even imagine it.
Love you, Jillian.
Anyway, also the morning of Thanksgiving, the parade.
Who has the energy to do all these other things? Oh, men. I was going to say, when you could be cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm not lifting a finger on Thanksgiving.
As I guess the parade is for the kids and the football's for the men, and then the women are just cooking. And is that how all this came to be? Did I just discover the origins of all of these Thanksgiving traditions?
Yeah.
Is patriarchy?
That's why I, as the child, get to just sit and complain about all of it.
Yeah.
Other food-related things. Cranberry sauce. I want to get behind it so bad. I'm trying. But every time I'm like, this is only here for aesthetics.
Yeah.
You're only here because you make the plate look better.
I mean, she is
gorgeous.
You
make the table look better. That being said, I do not believe in the canned cranberry sauce. If your cranberry sauce holds the shape of the can when you plop it out, you're absolutely out of your mind. Also, controversial, I don't really think dinner rolls belong at Thanksgiving. What are you filling up with bread for? Everything else is so much better. A roll is just like, it feels like an obligation. Like, oh, I have to have a dinner roll.
Yeah, but then if I love gravy and being able to mop everything up with a dinner roll.
Yeah.
That's where it's at for me.
Fair. No, I'll stand by it. And finally, here's what I don't like. Saying what you're thankful for. Thanksgiving is not about giving thanks, okay?
Read my diary, okay? I'm not broadcasting that shit.
Yeah, read my gratitude journal, okay, Oprah? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anybody has ever actually... Do people do this where it's like go around the table and say what you're grateful for? I don't like sitting when I can see all of the food and then listening to like a homily.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, gobble. I hope everyone is having fun planning what you're going to do.
Also, we have another episode coming out before Thanksgiving, so don't worry.
Yeah, I just think that... Have fun, you know what I mean? Like, not, you know, just have fun. Next, we have Ahir Shah on the pod right after this commercial break.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
My guest complainer today has been called one of his generation's most eloquent voices. He was nominated for the Edinburgh Comedy Award at the Fringe Festival twice. You may have seen him on Mock the Week, Have I Got News for You, Live at the Apollo, so much more. And his stand-up special, Dots, is now streaming on HBO Max. Welcome, Ahir Shah.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. Are you in London right now?
Yes, I am in my bedroom in central London and did not really clock until a few minutes ago that this was going to be on both video and audio and consequently look like this.
I will say overwhelmingly people will be listening and not seeing this.
I mean
if it eases you at all, I literally just threw on a hat, have not showered today, was in bed pretty much 10 minutes ago. So I'm, you know, we're on the same page here.
Yes, but I feel as though, given that you're several hours behind me, that's far more acceptable for you than it would have been for me were that the case.
True. I mean, to be fair, it is noon here.
Yeah.
I should have been up and active many hours ago, but still. Anyway, the question that we love to ask is, what is one thing that you hate that everybody else loves?
Mm. So I don't know if it's everybody else loves, but certainly is, to my mind, almost unfathomably popular in my country, and that is the Conservative Party. Because they keep winning, and like winning well as well, like not like, oh, it's a bit of a toss up and what have you. Like this at the 2019 general election, our most famous one, took an 80 seat majority. That's a pretty pretty hefty going. And
right. It's
never made sense to me. So I'm like, and this is it's a tricky thing because, you know, as a comedian and stuff, it's like you feel like you need to understand the country and understand the people that you're speaking to and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there is this very large subset of the population who are just really into something that baffles me. That's not a good way to be, I don't think.
And do you feel like you have gotten any sort of grasp on what is driving the, I don't know, the people who are voting that way?
Yeah. Well, I think that I do understand it because our political right seems less crazy than yours.
Probably fair.
So, yeah, it's like we've not got, you know, the people, like, for example, the Conservative Party are entirely just committed to green issues and is like, yeah, climate change is an obvious real problem.
Sure.
And we have like extremely ambitious targets for what we're going to do over there. And so that makes like maybe our political right is a bit more center ground than in the United States, where half of them do appear to believe that climate change is Jesus hugging the world slightly closer.
Yeah, not wrong. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of overlapping in terms of people who are voting conservatively having some sort of cognitive dissonance about, like, you know, my vote actually having an effect on what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I feel like the sentiment after 2016 and Brexit was like, I didn't think it was actually going to happen. I voted for this, but I didn't think, or like I voted for Trump, but I didn't think he would actually do all of the things that he said he was going to do.
I know for a friend's dad who voted Leave in the European referendum, not because he actually wanted to, but because he thought it would be unfair if they lost by too much. And so you're like, oh, I wanted them
that
to
is
have
the
a
most British
chance.
Reasoning.
Yeah. And you're like, mate, this happened. And he's like, yeah, I'm upset about it. It's like, well, what did you?
Yeah. I do love the kind of deeply British sentiment of I don't want their feelings to be hurt too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even wrap my head around that. I don't know. I
fast forward 5 years and no one has petrol.
Yeah. We have learned absolute zero lessons globally. Yeah, I guess that was one of my questions, which is generally, I don't know, how are things going over there? It feels like they're getting worse and worse every day. Preparing
yeah.
for like nuclear winter, perhaps.
Oh, it's like it's going badly from the perspective of someone who thought that it would go badly. Like this is they found
it's
new levels.
Bad.
No. It's unpredictably bad. Like it's so I thought that, oh, yeah, it's going to be pretty rough. And, you uh-huh. know, like. Not really dealing with the pandemic very well and the sort of fallout over Brexit and whatnot. And I thought, all right, it's probably not going to be good. But, you know, you think that, am I just catastrophizing because I lost? So it must be the worst possible thing in the world. And yes, given that every day, seemingly at the moment, there are suggestions from the government that we bring in the army in order to deal with some element of the British state that has collapsed at that particular point. You're like, I don't think that countries that are smashing it evoke uh-huh. the military daily for right. like basic stuff.
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound like a great sign. Yeah, it's funny kind of the news that kind of trickles through to the mainstream, I guess, in the US, which initially my reading were about a shortage of McDonald's milkshakes that struck the UK because of, I mean, and that was just one symptom of a much larger problem. But I do love that the reporting that came to my eyes was... there's no milkshakes.
But I think that this sort of goes back to what we were discussing earlier, right? Where the cognitive dissonance of it actually having a tangible impact, right? Because so many of the things that we choose or vote for or anything, because our voices are so diffuse, will have, you know, there are abstract implications and everything, but it's very difficult to work out causality, right? But then when you go to Nando's, like the big chain of chicken restaurants in the UK, many of whose branches closed because there was no chicken.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's actually like that's you can feel that. Right.
Yeah. I think if we emphasize more the effect that votes have on Nando's, then perhaps people would pay more attention. Yeah, I've been to the UK a few times and I've still never had Nando's and I feel like I'm missing out.
Oh, you absolutely are. I mean, I don't eat meat and I'm an evangelist for Nando's. They have excellent vegetarian options.
Fair.
So, you know, if they can get me, then they can get anyone.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps I need to make a special trip just for that. I don't think we have any branch of it here. I could be wrong.
Yes, well, I know it started in South Africa, but it... very much, it came into its own in the UK.
Right, right.
It's one of the few things that we're still doing well.
Right.
when they haven't had to close owing to a lack of chicken.
True. A lack of chicken, a lack of people to drive the chicken to where the chicken needs to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I watched your special. It was amazing. But you do have a number of jokes about vaping and attempting to quit smoking. I notice you're vaping in this hour. How is that journey been going?
I mean, I'm still hopelessly addicted to nicotine, but sure. I've just found a more technologically infused way of doing it.
Yeah.
I was much more interested in quitting cigarettes than I was quitting nicotine. Uh-huh. So that's done something. And yeah, for a while I had the Juul, so I was like an American child.
Right.
It
is true that, I mean, I will vape with, I haven't experiment with nicotine at all. I have a horrifically addictive personality, so I feel like the second I try it, I'll be, you know, dumping millions into Juul. But I do, you know, the occasional marijuana vaping, and there, nothing does feel less cool than an electronic cigarette. It is truly still to this day, even though it has become more popular, I still feel so lame.
Yeah. No, that's very true. And I recognize that it's deeply, but then, yeah, it's like, it's only the sort of aesthetics of smoking that sort of 100 years of Hollywood and everything has given to us that makes that particular form of drug dependency look rad. And it's like,
yeah,
being a drug addict isn't cool. this looks probably about how cool being a drug addict should look.
Yeah. But still, I mean, I do wish that, you know, hitting a vape had the same sort of dramatic effect as, you know, smoking a cigarette, as, again, that kind of movies and TV have portrayed. Like landing a point or a punchline with after smoking a cigarette, that dramatic pause, it just doesn't have the same effect when you hear the electronic melting of oil.
Yeah, it's like you watch like Richard Pryor live and smoking, and you're like, well, that is extra. He looks amazing doing that. And yeah, the 21st century equivalent of nailing a punchline and it just going.
Yeah, it just does not have the same effect. So you're back on stage now. You've been back on stage for a little bit, but I assume the last kind of year and a half has been not great.
Yeah, well, so it was May 17th that we were able to start doing things in sort of semi-full rooms, and sort of July 19th that absolutely everything in the country has opened, and we still, like, have a very high number of baseline cases, but we've sort of all decided to pretend it's not a thing anymore.
Right.
Because we all like the pub.
Yeah, we're about there. That sounds like Florida.
Yeah. But usefully, everyone here is vaccinated. So
that's true. That does not sound like Florida.
Yes, precisely.
Yeah.
And it's, yes, where, you know, you reserve your right to remain unvaccinated before engaging in safe behavior like wrestling an alligator or something.
Exactly. I mean, that generally happens outdoors, which is safer. So, I mean, the amount of indoor alligator wrestling is pretty limited, but. I won't be a Florida apologist.
But it's always, you know, it got tricky enough to follow what the rules were in this country, and even different part, like, you know, England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland had different rules during it. So I don't know how it's been in a lot of other places, because I know, you know, all 50 states seem to have quite divergent policies.
Truly,
on everything. But yeah, it was just that period from sort of March 2020, where everything just sudden handbrake stop, that year, because there were some things that we could do, like in the summer there were outdoor gigs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it's like I think that during that year, from like April 2020 to April 2021, I did stand up 13 times, and normally as I got, it's like. Right. 250 a year or whatever. So it's, yeah, very, very jarring, and certainly didn't help the general existential malaise of the pandemic, where you go like, sort of, what am I for? Like, what do I do? Like, that was the sort of thing that, like, oh, I really invested too much of my identity into that profession.
I truly have not met a single person who has not gone through some sort of existential crisis in the last year. It seems like we've all made it out, but I don't know if anybody has answers. And it sounds like perhaps you don't either.
Yeah. No. No, I mean, all I do know is quite how odd it is. Every time I reflect on the fact that sort of in pretty much every society in the world, like, has gone through the most, like, profound collective psychological shock of the, like, well, certainly in all developed countries have ended up in that situation. And we were there for a long time. And just, we've all collectively just gone, hey, that was weird. Anyway, and I'm like, no, I'm surely there's something sort of rummaging in the back of my brain that acknowledges quite how often just deeply frightening so much of that period of time was.
I don't know if we've fully grasped how much we're all absolutely fucked. I think I realize it in moments where I'm back out in public and I hear someone cough and my body does like a full, like it goes into fight or flight. I tense up and it's like, oh, that's not normal. It wasn't that way before. Something is wrong. Something is off and different.
Yeah. And just like every time I sort of wander around into, you know, a shop or the underground or what have you, and dutifully putting the mask on and everything, and you're like, this definitely wasn't always the case. And it's worse now. Yeah. This is less preferable to the way that it was. And I accept that I must do it. But by God, I'm going to be upset about it.
Yeah. And we at least should allow ourselves all to be able, you know, to kind of walk around with some, to be indignant at all times. I think that is, at the very least.
Yeah. It's like, how are you? Furious, obviously. Like,
not good.
Everything's going very poorly.
Do you live by yourself?
I did before the pandemic.
Okay.
And then when this kicked off, my friend moved in with me and my then girlfriend moved in as well. So we sort of sat through the thing together, which made it a lot less, because I think that, do you live alone?
I live by myself, and the idea of a kind of comedian living alone for a year and a half with little social interaction, I can say from experience, not great. Concerning to everybody on the outside.
Oh, it was very sort of clear that I'm like, oh, I'm very glad that you're both here, because I would 100% have gone fully insane.
Or you just have an audience then for your impending insanity.
Precisely. But I do, I sort of worry about what it would have been, because like, I know, and I'm sure you'll know, people in the comedy world, that because all of the work dried up and everything, and it was, you know, your livelihood is removed from something entirely beyond your control. And I unfortunately know a few people who ended up going slightly deep end in terms of conspiracy theories and whatnot about this, because at least that allows you to rationalize this awful thing that's happening and everything. And so, you know, like, don't trust vaccines or science generally, and very well. And you do sort of worry that, you know, I don't think that I would have been that sort of person had I been alone throughout the whole thing. But you never know. And what if, you know, if that were the only thing providing me a sense of solace and way of understanding, than conceivably.
I do love that we're all kind of just one potential detail away from just going fully, you know, full conspiracy theory. If it hadn't been for this one factor, who knows?
Oh yeah, that veil is a lot thinner than any of us would care to admit.
Is that sort of like conspiracy theory, that kind of like fringe insanity, as prevalent or prevalent at all in the UK?
Certainly there are elements of it. Oddly, I live very near one of the people who is sort of most responsible for that sort of thing in the UK, is a man called Piers Corbyn, who was the brother of the former leader of the Labour Party here, but is a sort of like, very like, he's a climate change denier and various assorted conspiracy theorists. But I know that he lives near me because I see him on the tube, and he was, for a lot of it, the only person not wearing a mask on the tube. And I was like, well, I definitely know that's you. Yeah, there's no like, guys, I think I saw, it's like, no, that's 100%. So I don't think that it's as strong. I think that largely because, and I'm very grateful for this, science doesn't seem to have become part of any sort of culture war in this country, where, as an outsider at least, I feel that definitely has become the case in the United States. Whereas here, like, your vaccination status doesn't really say anything about your political leanings in this country. And that's right. Like, that's a really good thing, right? We're very fortunate to be in that position. And it's always weird because you get, like, stopping lockdown demonstrations in central London, and it's like, all right, so you're making it more difficult for me to get to the theatre that I'm playing this evening because there isn't a lockdown with your anti-lockdown demonstration. I'm like, do you not... There's something right. there, isn't yeah. there? Come on, guys.
Yeah, I do think it does feel like the kind of like conspiracy theory culture is so intensely American that, I'm always curious.
But then through the globalization of right. culture through the internet, that's obviously seeped in over here. And you did get situations where, you know, you see pictures of in Trafalgar Square, there'll be some anti-lockdown demonstration and people have Trump 2024 uh-huh. flags, and it's like that's not ours, guys.
That's right. Yeah, I have a Boris Johnson flag in my window. Anyway, I could talk about that forever. Let's talk about your special. It's just transitioning right. wildly. So the special, is it out on HBO Max everywhere? Is that just in the US?
It's, as far as I'm aware, it's only wherever HBO Max is. So, for example, like, I've not seen it because you can't get HBO Max here, so do that. So basically, as far as I'm concerned, this may all just That's be an true. Elaborate prank.
I'm part of the ruse trying to convince you that your special is real. This is just a Black Mirror episode.
Sure. Ahir thinks he's got a show on HBO.
But presumably you filmed it within the last... I don't know, 6 months. I mean, you could see people in the audience wearing masks,
yes.
and you know. So this is mid COVID.
Yeah. So originally, it was due to be filmed on the 31st of March, 2020, which right. obviously couldn't happen, and so ended up being filmed on the 6th of June, 2021. And this was, if you remember, I was saying that there was that 17th of May when stuff sort of opened up a bit, and then 19th of July. Really open up, so sort of bang in the middle of that. And that was, as you said, you know, theatres could have 50% capacity and have everyone wearing masks and whatnot. But there was just a real, like, come on, let's just, we need to right. just do this. This needs to just be a thing that's completed, because otherwise sort of just end up kicking the can down the road forever. And who knew when everything was going to wholly open up and whatnot. But yeah, so it was... Well, I guess 4 months ago and 14 months late.
But it happened, allegedly, and it is out, allegedly.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely did the gig.
Sure. Yeah. You know, hologram technology is getting really good. So there's no way of knowing for sure. I also saw that you tweeted about getting pickpocketed like a Dickens character. Which I'm glad.
Yes.
I'm glad that you found the humor in that. It sounds horrible.
It was just incredibly annoying because it was you know, a job well done on the part of the guy who did it.
Yeah.
Because it was just like I was walking across the road and tapped my pocket, and I'm like, oh, damn it. It's just that we just now live in this world where there is an absolutely vital piece of equipment to have on you at all times, and if you lose it, that will be £1,000.
Yeah.
And that's extremely frustrating stuff. But I have previously been extraordinarily lax with my insurance purchases. So now I'm actively insured. And if the Artful Dodger tries anything again, I'll be absolutely fine.
Right. I mean, presumably you did not see the person or know until after the fact. Right, because it could have been
exactly.
a band of orphan children, but it, you know, or it could have been a grown man. You have no idea.
Yeah, it was definitely a grown man, but I hope that he had a merry band of orphan children sort of around him that he returned the goods to, and they all had a little song.
They were watching from across the street, taking notes, learning. Well, we're just about at the hour. Before I let you go, where can people find you and your work?
They can go to ahirshah.com or ahirshah on Twitter. And other than that, if you are in the United States, please do watch Dots on HBO Max and let me know that it actually exists.
And you're going on tour, right? Are you in the midst of tour?
Yes, so... So start a new tour called Dress from the 1st of November in London and then
Amazing.
Around
we,
the UK.
We have listeners in the UK, so, you know, if you're there, I hope they'll go see you. And then I hope you come out to the States sometime soon, if we're allowed.
Yes, eventually Mr. Biden. I think that Mr. Biden's allowing us again, so that's...
Probably. At this point, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to negotiate just leaving my apartment, so I haven't really read the rules on traveling outside of country lines, but I have faith it's getting better. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show, but first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. This week, I wanted to talk yet again about something I've mentioned before, but now there's a book coming out that I'm excited about that I pre-ordered. It is the 1619 Project book by
Amazing.
Nicole Hannah-Jones. So I've talked about the 1619 Project before. It started as like this New York Times thing. Is now more relevant than ever. I feel like it really kind of like instigated the critical race theory of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a huge kind of feature in the New York Times, and then they turned it into a podcast project, and now it is becoming a book. So if that is your preferred mode of absorbing information, which is one of mine,
mm-hmm.
You can buy the 1619 Project book by Nicole Hannah-Jones.
Wonderful.
What have we been watching, Barry? What have you been watching this week?
So I haven't watched a ton of new TV. It's most of the same. I finished What We Do in the Shadows. The season finale came out this past week. But we did together go see Dune, which I loved. I'm seeing it again tomorrow night in theaters. Listen, it's available on HBO Max, so you can watch it there if you're listening. But it's worth going to see in the theaters.
It is a big,
so fun
movie theater movie.
Yes. It's just a big cinematic sci-fi adventure, and I was here for all of it.
Yeah, I did love it.
I will say, so many movies coming out. I'm excited to be back going to movie theaters. We're seeing another movie tonight. We're seeing The French Dispatch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff I want to see in theaters, and it's been fun. So that's kind of like taking my TV time right now.
Yeah.
But what about you? What have you been watching?
Well, Dune.
Yes.
And I started reading it also.
Yes.
Listening to the audiobook along
Such
with it.
Such a good audiobook.
It is. Full voice cast, music behind some of it. But yeah, I haven't watched a lot of new stuff. I remember saying a long time ago that I was watching The Simpsons from the beginning, because I'd never really seen all of The Simpsons. And I didn't really follow through, but now I've gone back.
Nice.
Mostly because it's like some of those early like animation is a little rough.
Yeah.
When you're used to like modern animation, you know, it does that weird thing where all the lines are kind of shaky a little bit, where I'm like, I feel like I'm going to be sick watching this.
Right. Well, the TVs that they came out on were all pretty blurred anyway. So it wasn't like.
So watching it on like,
high definition.
High def device is a little. Disorienting, but once you get past the first couple of seasons, it gets better. But yeah, it's funny to watch. I mean, yeah, there's so many episodes.
Mm-hmm.
B, they're so full of references. Turns out comedy is actually about references.
What?
A lot. So all of your criticism of me and my references.
I love your references. I just don't ever get any of them.
So yeah, Dune and The Simpsons. What's your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser is a book I have been reading and listening to, which is Little Weirds, written by Jenny Slate, whom mm-hmm. I love very, very much. It came out, I think, last year. It's been out for a while, but I just started reading it and I fucking love it. Her writing is amazing. It's like surreal at times. It's funny. It's sad. It's sweet. And the audiobook is all, I do recommend reading it because some of them are like super short and almost like little poems that are fun to just look at. Uh-huh. But it's also great to listen to because she's such an amazing voice actor. And so the performance of the book is great. And it's so her voice that it just, I'm really enjoying listening to it. But like, it's the first book I've read in a while where there have been multiple times where I've stopped and like highlighted passages because they're like so beautiful and meaningful uh-huh. or like so funny. I really am enjoying it. And it's also nice because it is a book of like essays and stuff like that. It's not, you know, a narrative from start to finish. So if any listeners out there have been in like a reading rut or something, this is a pretty good one to pick up because you can like take little bits at a time.
Right.
And I'm loving it.
It's not like a multi-book epic like yeah. Dune.
Right. Although I am, once I'm done with Little Weirds, I'm going to dip back in and start reading book 5 because I got so excited watching the movie. But mm-hmm. yeah. What about you? What's your non-TV chaser?
Mine is the opposite of a book, which is, I've alluded to several times in this episode, and that is TikTok.
Hey, she's on.
I haven't made any TikToks of my own, but I guess I just kind of like avoided figuring out what TikTok was.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? This is new technology that I don't have the mental capacity to figure out right now. And then, you know, when you would fall into like YouTube holes where mm-hmm. like, you know, you'd finish one YouTube and then you'd click on one of the recommended videos and like before you knew it, you'd spend hours.
Yeah.
TikTok is like that, but it takes away the time that you have to click on another video. So it's just like automatically going from one thing to another. I've literally lost days of my life. Already.
Good. Healthy.
It took a matter of 36 hours for it to call me a full FAG. At this point, I've been identified as like a gay with deteriorating mental health. And it shows me a lot of videos of white women screaming at customer service employees. It's like shaming Karens, basically.
Oh, good.
So that is the corner of TikTok that I've been exposed to and that I lose several hours in.
Congratulations.
But yeah, it is it's a fun app. And I will perhaps dip my toe in starting to make some of my own. We'll see. But yeah, that is it for this week's episode. So thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. If you want more Unhappy Hour shit, and obviously you do, you can head to my Patreon page where you'll get video of bonus Worst Things First stories, video of extended guest complainer interviews, and an entire separate podcast feed of all of the bonus stories every single week. So it's like a second day of Unhappy Hour stuff that you get right in your podcast feeds. You also can buy some merch at unhappyhourshop.com. As always, head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audacy, that's AUDACY. Wherever you get podcasts, follow us, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Arlena Revelo, and me, Matt Bellisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Bellisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Wow. You should have been hired to compose the score of the film.
I should have. John Williams, anyone?
Arlene says it was a B flat.
So I was right.
No.